Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
App. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now. Especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough. Especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach.
Well, this should be an interesting hour. We got one guy in his kid's bedroom, another guy in a hotel room in Mobile, Alabama, and Bert Breer, who joins us now. That was Aaron Rodgers you heard on Sunday after the Packers game. Hi, Bert. How you doing?
I'm good. It's always a little tricky setting up a shot in a hotel room without looking like you're doing something sketchy. So,
oh, there you go.
You got me?
Yeah, it looks like a...
What kind of hotel you in down here?
It sort of has a peephole video feel to it.
It's always tough to set up like a shot in a hotel room without it looking like you're doing something sketchy. Like, it really looks like I'm up to something now, you know? So, everything's good down here. It's definitely different, but everything's good.
That was bizarre, by the way.
He said the exact same thing twice.
Yes, you did.
With the same inflection.
I thought it wasn't up. Like...
No, you're up. Try it again.
But it was the same inflection and the same tone. We're going to have to play those back-to-back, like, at the end of the show to see, like, you mimicked yourself.
I repeated myself because I thought you guys didn't get the first part.
Oh, we got it. Oh, we're here. We got it.
There you have it.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, there's that. You heard Aaron Rodgers on Sunday, and there is now this rampant speculation, Bert, that Aaron Rodgers could potentially want out of Green Bay. Do you buy that? Do you believe it? Have you heard anything to that effect?
Do I think they're going to trade him? No. Do I think he knew exactly what he was doing? 100%. Absolutely. Like, I think this was calculated, I think if it wasn't, he would have taken it back by now. I think it's sort of a warning shot to the front office. And we've seen him do these sorts of things in the past where, you know, I think, again, he's probably looking around at the landscape and he's seeing, okay, well, Buffalo was really aggressive and went and got Stephon Diggs. The Chiefs have been super aggressive building around Patrick Mahomes and going and getting Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark and Sammy Watkins as veteran players coming in. And we've seen what the Bucs have done. Like, at every turn, they've been aggressive, whether it's Gronk, Fournette, Shady McCoy. So, you know, I think as much as anything else, it's like a message to the front office, like, you guys need to be more aggressive in getting me help. Now, that said, I don't think he was blameless on Sunday either, guys. Like, I think that there were plays there for him. Like, I think there's reason to point the finger at Aaron Rodgers specifically, too, for the way that things went on Sunday. But I absolutely think what he said after the game was 100% calculated.
I'd go to the three plays prior to the field goal being kicked. Yeah. Like, it just seemed like old Green Bay where we'd move the ball between the 20s and then, you know, all we have left is really street ball and go make a play. Like, right. There was no play design there. They didn't even plan on trying to hit like an angle route, you know, with all the skill that they have
or
flare out of the backfield to give me four to get it to the six or the five, you know, to put pressure on.
I mean, even the third down play. Now, I think he would have won the foot race to the pylon. Like, I think he would have.
Do you? Everybody thinks that. I thought he would get nailed at the round of three.
So, but even if he didn't, right? Like, now you're on the two or the three.
Now you got to go for it.
Now fourth down is much more manageable, right?
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. I mean, like, I just think between the quote coaching staff and the quarterback, they there were so many like game management issues there from the Packers where, I mean, the end of the first half and then, of course, the end of the game where like the door was open for them. The door was open for them to win the game. And if they had just managed the game correctly, they could have walked through it. So obviously there's a lot of second guessing and frustration afterwards. And I just think this is Aaron Rodgers' way is like he's never been afraid to point the finger in another direction in the past. And I think because things went so well with Matt LaFleur the first 2 years, we haven't really seen that since Mike McCarthy's out of the building. So I think part of it is like, Aaron's moved past that. Maybe McCarthy was really the issue. But again, you know, you get put in this spot and it sort of felt like old Aaron's back, and he's back pointing the finger at somebody else again.
So Mark Murphy has come out and said Aaron Rodgers will return in 2021, saying, quote, "We're not idiots. Aaron Rodgers will be back. He's our leader." That is what Mark Murphy has said in the aftermath of all this. So as you stated, Aaron Rodgers could kill all of this talk and all of this speculation by clarifying or adding to what he said after the game.
Or
but
tweeting
that's
something.
Yeah, that's not it. But you said he did it on purpose. That's not who Aaron Rodgers is. He did it. It was calculated. He wants to have this conversation. And I think it's a power play is what it is. I think he wants to assert some sort of dominance there, whether it's over the front office to go get me help. Or, Bert, maybe it has something to do with his head coach and the coaching decision that was made in the game on that drive, whether it's the play calling or the field goal decision, whatever it might be. But it has not been an easy couple of years for Aaron Rodgers there. I mean, we know what Aaron Rodgers' reaction was when they hired a new head coach, when they let Mike McCarthy go, and they hired who they hired. I don't think he was elated about it. I think they've gotten along. And so it sort of plays into other themes. Do they have a sort of a Brady situation brewing there with their quarterback? And is this all part of should teams bow down to their quarterbacks? Brady has left New England. He has gone to Tampa Bay. He's back in the Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson's one of the best young quarterbacks in the sport. He wants to leave his team and is demanding to be traded. Aaron Rodgers, if he decided to do that exact same thing this offseason, the Packers are then all sorts of jammed up. What do they do if Aaron Rodgers says, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to play for you. I don't want to play for this franchise anymore. It has sort of an NBA player empowerment feel to it.
And I think as an older player, he has the retirement card he can play too.
Of course.
Like a 26-year-old can't play that card realistically, right? Like Aaron Rodgers can, he does have that card, like where he can realistically say, you know what, I don't really need this anymore.
So, Bert, should these teams just do what they say and bow down to the quarterbacks? You know, and I wonder if the Patriots have second guessing themselves about how they handled the Brady situation. What do you do if you're a team now and you have a quarterback that is, well, demanding?
So I think you need to manage that relationship differently than you have in the past. And I just like you can't ask a guy to act like management, which is what all these teams do, right? Like they all ask the quarterback to act like management, to be the CEO of the team, all that different stuff, right? Or to be sort of the face of the franchise. So like, I think something that goes along with that is treating them with a certain level of respect. That doesn't mean you're allowing them to make decisions, but if it helps to loop them in, I don't see what the big deal is. And that was the whole thing with Deshaun too, right? Like if you look at the way the Deshaun Watson thing went down, it wasn't that Deshaun wanted to be the one handpicking the head coach or the general manager. It was just, you told me you're going to involve me. You did discuss it with me. And then you went in a completely different direction. And I had to find out about that on social media. Like, that's like really crappy management of a relationship by the Texans, right? And so I do think it is on, like, I'm not saying, like, I don't think players should be picking head coaches. I don't think players should be picking general managers, no matter how great they are. But, like, if a guy wants to have a seat at the table and have some input because you're asking him to basically be the face of the franchise and be that invested in the franchise, I do think that, you know, it makes sense from the team's perspective to just include the guy and treat the guy with a certain amount of respect. That's all.
And so I wonder, he just wants his ass kissed a little bit too. You know, they tried to draft his replacement.
Yeah.
He came back and had an MVP type of year and he just
won NFC title games and you guys went and got me no help.
Yeah, kiss my ass. That's what he's trying to do to his team a little bit. You know, he wants to be appreciated. That's what I thought. Like,
no, you think about it. You think about Brady. The aging quarterbacks too. You already got Breeze is down, Rivers is down. Who knows what's going on with Roethlisberger? You know, Rodgers can inject himself to that. Brady's the one outlasting them all. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I don't think Aaron does anything by mistake. And there's like, it's just a, I mean, even like you heard him, like they asked him specifically about the fourth down decision, right? What was his response? Wasn't my decision.
Right.
He didn't throw Matt LaFleur under the bus.
Decision whether to run or throw it on third down though.
Well, he said it wasn't my decision, but I understand the thinking there. And he was very careful about it. You didn't throw anybody under the bus.
But he's making it very clear, like, it wasn't his call. And, and I don't know. I mean, I think there's implications to that, right? Like, when you're the quarterback, it's saying, like, well, you know, it's his call, so that's not really on me. And I've always thought, like, the best quarterbacks, no matter what you say, like, and Zoe, you can probably speak to this, it's when we fail, it's me, and when we succeed, it's we, right? Like, that's what they always say with the quarterbacks. Like, that's the way you're supposed to act. And when a guy steps outside of that, I think it's worth looking at. And I certainly think in this case, it's like worth looking at the way that Aaron conducted himself, like in that press conference, because
he's that comfortable to even talk that way. If you're from the Green Bay side of it, because you got a young coach and here's our older quarterback who's been around and seen it all. And once he starts talking like that, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah. And I mean, like these guys don't live in a vacuum either. I mean, they certainly see what happens in the NBA and how NBA superstars are able to sort of like pressure their teams into making moves and pressure their teams into being more aggressive. Right. Like we've seen that a ton of times in the NBA. Like, I mean, I wouldn't think at all that there's not some influence that I wouldn't think that it's out of bounds at all, that there's some influence there where quarterbacks are watching these sorts of things and saying, you know, I could use another receiver. I could use another tight end. So you know what? I got a little leverage here. I'm going to exert that leverage and make sure that they're aggressive and that they turn over every rock to try and find me some help.
All right, Bert, we've got plenty to get to this hour, 617-779-0985. We have other things to get to, including the number of quarterbacks that could switch teams this offseason. Schefter's got an estimate. I want to see if you have one. And who's the quarterback going to be for the Patriots? Could it be Matthew Stafford? That's on the way next.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help. And they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Next.
This is why you do the show. You take chances, you give takes. Sometimes they blow up in your face. You look like a complete idiot. We've all been there.
The pie in your face.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Bert, what kind of lotion they give you there at that hotel?
I don't know. You want me to go check for you?
What do you do with the plastic cups? They give you real cups? Like you in a swanky joint?
Like in the little bottles? Like the ones that comes like with the shampoo? Like that?
Yeah.
I'd have to look into it. I'll do it during the next break. I'll bring it over. I'll show it to you.
How many days are you doing at the Senior Bowl?
So I got in like last night and I'm coming back Thursday morning.
All right.
Any other hotel tips for him? Once he finds a lotion, is there a shoe shine bag? Can you lift the mattress and separate that from the box spring? Zoe's got some tips for you.
Sure.
So if you lift the mattress.
Nope, that's why he was asking
about the lotion. Do you have any, maybe like an ice bag to put ice in? Anything like that?
That's a shoe bag.
No, I do have like a little, I think I've got like one of those.
Laundry bag.
You got to be able to improvise, though.
draw him a diagram and text it to him, so.
Okay.
Okay, go.
Adam Schefter is predicting that 18 teams, let me say that again in case you missed that, not eight, 18, 18 NFL teams will change starting quarterbacks this offseason.
I had to read that twice. Because I was with you. I'm like, 18? That you talk about instability at the position.
He says, my over-under of teams changing QBs this offseason is 18, and I'll go with the over, he writes. He's taking the over. He's saying two-thirds of the league is going to have a changeover at quarterback. And so I guess in order to get to that number, he is including all of these in the graphic that he posted that could change over. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, Mitch Trubisky, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith, Ben Roethlisberger. I don't really understand why Jameis Winston or Ryan Fitzpatrick get lumped into that list.
Yeah, those are confusing there because they're both backups.
Right, like all these other, and they didn't say these are starters. It's listed as some quarterbacks whose futures are in question. I get that. But, Burke, do you think the number could be that high?
I think it depends on like a handful of teams, and I'll run through them. Like the Dolphins, do they stick with Tua or do they draft one at three and trade Tua? The Jets, do they stick with Darnold or do they take one at two and trade Darnold? The Rams, the Raiders, and the Niners, I think, would all be in play potentially if they can find upgrades. And, guys, I actually think that this is like the result of what I'd call like a Mahomes effect across the NFL. And that, like, I think that, you know, there was a time, like, I would say 10, 15 years ago, maybe like more recent than that, actually, where you could win with like the 10th best quarterback in the league, the 12th best quarterback in the league, the 14th best quarterback in the league, right? Like Flacco, Eli. Russell Wilson wasn't a top five quarterback when he won the Super Bowl. He was still in his second year. So there was a time when, you know, you could be really good but not great at the position, and that was good enough. And I think a lot of teams are sort of looking at it right now and this mountain they're going to have to climb to win a championship. And they see Patrick Mahomes, right? So you're going to have to get past him. Then they see what Josh Allen might be capable of if he puts it all together. Then you look at Justin Herbert, what he is physically. Now you got Trevor Lawrence coming in. And I just sort of wonder if the bar has moved up as far as what's suitable for a long-term quarterback in the NFL, where if you're sort of in that like 11 to 20 range and you have a Garoppolo or you have a Carr or you have a Goff, now you're looking at it and you're saying to yourself, man, I can get to the playoffs with this, but eventually I'm going to run into a quarterback who's just going to be too good for us to deal with. And so I think that that's sort of what you're looking at. And I think that's why so many teams, I think, have at least a little instability at the position, because there are teams that are looking at and saying to themselves, if we're going to find a way to conquer what Mahomes is and what guys like Allen and Lawrence and Herbert might become over the next 10 years, like, we're going to have to do better than what we have in the building right now.
So can the Patriots get Matthew Stafford? That's what I think everybody wants to know. Can they do it?
Sure. Although, do you think Stafford will want to come here?
No, I don't. So they'd have to do some work on that front.
And that would be, and you know, like, I don't know where the relationship is with him and Patricia, but, you know, I don't know that after 3 years of being in the Patriot program that, like, he wants to roll the clock back and do that again. So, like, I think you have to convince him this is the right place to come, because I think he is going to have some say. Like, the Lions have committed to, we're going to work with you on this. And so I think Tom Condon, his agent, is going to be involved in this. And, you know, like, can you convince Matthew Stafford that this is the right place to come? Well, you're going to have to add some weapons, I think, to create a sort of scenario where it'd be attractive to him. So I think that, you know, there are a few teams out there, there are a few of these quarterbacks out there that are going to have some control over their own situations. I think Stafford's one of them where it's not going to be just like, hey, we'll flip a pick and he'll come here. It's like, if the Lions are working with him and they have multiple offers, they're probably going to do something to try to like help him out and put him in a better situation, which I like, again, it's hard to say whether or not Matthew Stafford would want to come here, which is crazy to think, because, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years ago, if you asked a quarterback, do you want to come in and replace Tom Brady? I think the answer would be yes, but the Patriots are in a very different spot than they've been in the past.
Well, there's also the potential like domino effect of Stafford moving to Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Like, that could be it, and they could end up with Jimmy G, like we've talked about, which we know could happen. They wouldn't have to convince Jimmy Garoppolo to play in New England.
Right.
You know, he'd be like, okay, I guess I'm going back to New England. This team doesn't want me. I go back to my good friend Bill, who sends me text messages after I have good games, like I'm his son.
He also has Jimmy also has a no trade clause, which, like, interestingly enough, gives him, you know, a chance to control his situation too.
But he'd come back here. You know,
I think
would.
So. Yeah.
I think he would too. It's almost like you got to start asking which of all these quarterbacks would want to go to New England. Like, you only asked that with Stafford.
Which sort of goes back to last segment, right? So, like, sort of this quarterback empowerment play that's going on in the league.
NBA-ish.
Like, Deshaun Watson doesn't want to come to the Patriots. Matthew Stafford probably doesn't want to come to the Patriots. But Jimmy G, we could feel like we could convince him he should come back here. Right? Bill has to.
So you're talking about top three of the four or don't want to come here. That's what you're assuming, you know? And that's a scary thing when you got this kind of market and it's that deep.
Yeah, I think that there's, again, like, Jimmy has no trade clause. Deshaun Watson has no trade clause. Like, Matthew Stafford, I think that his team's going to help him out. And then you're looking at the younger quarterbacks who are going to be available. Sam Darnold and Tua are in the division. So do the Jets and Dolphins want to trade you a young quarterback? Like, it's going to be a tricky one for the Patriots and how they figure out, like, which way to go and whether or not, like, finding a stopgap, trading for a veteran who's making $20 or $30 million a year, or selling out to get one in the draft's the right path.
So, Bert, how damaging has Brady's success been to Belichick and the Patriots as a destination?
I think his departure was to begin with, because, like, one thing you knew about Brady, like, Brady, if you were an offensive skill position player, you are probably going to come out of here a wealthier man than you came here as, right? Like, how many millionaires did Tom Brady make? You go all the way back to the start. Like, Deion Branch, David Givens, Daniel Graham didn't get paid here, but they got paid somewhere else, right? Rob Gronkowski got paid. Randy Moss got paid. Like, Dante Stallworth, 1 year here, got a big deal in Cleveland. We know what happened after that, but he got a big deal in Cleveland.
Shane Vereen, keep going.
There are so many guys that came through here. And ultimately, I mean, players want to win. Players really want to get paid. And
bingo.
I think having the ability to say to a player, if you come here, like, maybe you'll be here for 5 or 6 years, but at the very least, if you're gone in a year or two, you're going to be making a ton of money somewhere else, was a powerful, powerful tool for them to have.
And Bert, that's not totally fair, because they also did over the years catch the guys at the end of the career that were ring chasing. Like, they had that going for them too.
Right. But I'm saying, like, as far as like one of the things that you had was with a young guy, like, if you come here, like, Aqib Talib's a good example, right? Like, and they traded for him, so it's a little different, but Aqib Talib came here and, like, his reputation couldn't have been at a lower point than it was when he arrived here, right? Like, he winds up after doing, you know, he did a 1 year deal to come back here, and after that, he's the highest paid corner in football, right? Darrelle Revis, he's coming off the ACL. He'd had a bad year in Tampa. He comes here, boom, back at the top of the market. So, like, are they capable of doing those things again? Are they capable of convincing players, like, we can do this for you again? With Brady gone, that means, like, the luster of having guys who, like, if a guy's going to say, like, I need to get to the playoffs to have that sort of cachet, it's like, you can look at the like, all those guys, like, a part of it was Belichick. Another part of it was playing with Brady. Another part of it was winning in the playoffs. And if you can't guarantee, if a guy's not going to be playing with Brady and can't guarantee them that you're going to be winning the playoffs, now all that's left is Belichick. And is that enough to sell?
617-779-0985. Bert Breer checking in from the Senior Bowl. We'll ask him about that. And I promise we will get to some of your calls right after these headlines. Stay tuned.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, B. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1, 2, 3. Bert Breer is at the Senior Bowl, Mobile, Alabama. How are the COVID rules down there, Bert, down in Alabama?
Relaxed.
In what way?
All the NFL people are under serious restrictions. So
right.
Any NFL person you see walking around is wearing a mask. They're being tested every day, all of that. The locals are, I didn't see a whole lot of masks.
How's the grits
going on? Yeah.
Did you get any grits?
I haven't had any of the grits.
Okay.
No, but I did. Hey, Zoe, no lotion.
What?
No lotion.
Whoa.
We got our mouthwash.
Yep.
We got our shampoo.
Body wash.
We got our conditioner. We got our hand and body wash, but no lotion.
Wow.
Conditioner might be able to substitute in.
What kind of place is this? No lotion?
Pick up the phone, dial zero.
You ever been in that pinch, Zoe?
I like when you walk down the hallway and you see one of the carts out there and just grab about 10 lotions. Like, they won't know. Yeah, a couple face cloths.
Don't use mouthwash. That doesn't work at all.
Too many.
That mouthwash isn't good anyway.
Zach Cox from Nesson, a couple of stats on the Patriots in the Senior Bowl. He tweeted, the Patriots have drafted at least one Senior Bowl alum every year since 2008. They've drafted a total of 46 during that span, plus a handful of undrafted free agents. He says there's a very good chance multiple players that are at the Senior Bowl this week will wind up in New England. That's an average of 3.5 Patriots are drafted from the Senior Bowl every year. So what's the Patriots representation down there? Have you spotted anyone?
I actually haven't been out to practice yet, and I don't know if they're going to let the media practice today because there's thunderstorms coming, which means they're going to move it into a field house. If they move it into the field house, they're only going to allow people who have been tested into the field house. So if it's not in the stadium, we can't go.
Oh,
I know there aren't a lot of coaches here. Like, it's because it's limited this year because of the testing program and these are protocols. It's limited to 10 per team, which I think is going to create an interesting dynamic. Most teams, I think, are sending chiefly scouts. I would think that Belichick's here. I got to confirm that. And this is going to be all important too, guys, because this is the only chance these teams are going to have to be face to face with the prospects right. The entire process.
That's why I'd be shocked if Belichick's not there. I'd be shocked if Belichick's not there.
So no combine. You're not allowed to bring the guys into your building. You can't do interviews on campus.
Right.
Like, all that stuff's out the window. You can do Zoom interviews and that sort of thing. But this right here is going to be the only chance that these teams have to get face-to-face with prospects. And, I mean, like we've discussed the last few weeks, we know how important that piece of the process is to Bill. He likes to know what he's getting. He wants to have firsthand knowledge, either – that he gathered himself or that's coming from somebody that he has a connection to. And so I think that this is a very important week for the Patriots. Absolutely.
Again, real quick, who are the two coaching staffs? It's Carolina's
and Miami.
And Miami. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Miami obviously has the third pick, which, you know, the quarterback question is going to linger there. The Panthers are very much in play for a quarterback. They're going to be picking eighth. And it's always a big advantage for those staffs too. Cause like, those staffs are going to get to see these guys in meetings. Those staffs are going to get to coach these guys in practice. Those staffs are going to get to give those guys information and come back to them later in the week and see if they can retain it. Like, there are so many things that the coaching staffs always get out of this week, but I think it's even a bigger advantage for the Dolphins and Panthers. And this is a big draft for both those teams too. I mean, the Dolphins again have multiple first round picks. We don't know what they're going to do with three, but that's right. Obviously a pivot point in the draft for everybody because there is a question of what they're going to do there. So, yeah, I mean, I think that this is, like, again, for the Panthers and Dolphins, like, I don't know why a lot of teams turn down the chance to coach in this game. And I understand, like, wanting to give your coaching staffs a breather after coming, after you went through the season that you did. But man, I mean, I really think that those staffs are going to have a huge advantage on everybody else, because they're going to have had a chance to coach. I think there are 140 guys here. They're going to have to each have had a chance to coach and be with all those players, 70 of them apiece, wow, over the course of a whole week.
Let's go to your call, 617-779-0985. Thanks for hanging on. In order of weight, we go to Carlos in Worcester. Carlos.
Yes. Thank you, guys. I love your show. I love Zoe. I love you too, Beltran. Do you think that Bill Belichick is going to win a championship? Beltran. If Tom Brady wins one this year, do you think he has a chance of winning a Super Bowl championship?
Bill?
Oh, what's the question?
Yeah, I guess. I guess the question is, do you think Bill has the capability to win a championship without Brady?
Yes.
Sure, with the right team, yeah.
Yeah, in theory, absolutely. Sure.
I mean, I trust him as
a coach. Got a lot of work to do, but yes.
I trust him as a coach implicitly. The question is, can he build a team to do it, right?
Right. That's where the concern is.
I saw your Bert. I saw a little tweet towards the Romo comment. Hey, maybe somebody should get Tony some flip cards, off of his comments. Have you noticed any little friction between Nance and Romo this year?
Well, I know it's been out there, right? Hasn't it?
We've discussed it with Bert.
Oh, we have. Okay, I'm sorry.
We talked about that, the contract stuff.
Yeah. Well, we talked about contracts. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all got in the wrong part of this business, apparently, because if Jim Nance can be paid like a quarterback, more power to him.
Carol in North Attleboro. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi. I love you guys. Hi, Carol. Hi. Listen, I want to put a different perspective on this Tom Brady and Bill Belichick love-hate relationship that we all talk about as a woman's perspective. I think there's some facts I'd just like to point out. That when did he marry Giselle? 2009. Okay. And then in 2013 is when the TB12 came, and of course the Alex Guerrero, which we all know how that went with Bill Belichick. Then he got into Uggs. I just think that we are not all.
Did you say Uggs?
He got into Uggs, yes.
Uggs, the commercial.
Turning point in his life.
Fashion, right. The whole fashion persona. Let's all think about it.
Right.
Okay, so now we go, and I know, and you all know, a happy wife means a happy life.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
What does this all mean, though, Carol? Well, I don't understand where we're going here.
We're meaning that she's had so much influence on his choices in his career, fashion, you name it. Is that she had a big influence, and I believe that the father saying that comment, on the heat pad or whatever it was, that the family knows, okay. And the bottom line is Giselle's from Brazil. She likes Florida. She's got the boat now, but yet she's she's all saved the earth. That woman,
Beetle. It took her 11 years.
It's time
to break it up. To get them out of New England?
I mean, like, Brady was kind of into all of this stuff before Giselle, too, if I remember right.
Yep.
Like
you got to go back to William to get us
fashion, right? Like, Brady was into this stuff.
He
always wanted
to be the guy he is now.
Right.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that's, like, I mean, going back to Tara Reid.
Yeah. Bridget Moynihan, Tara Reid. He was into celebrities before he met Giselle.
Yeah. He was Rogers. Yeah.
Yes, he was into the star bleeping lifestyle.
Oh boy!
Mm-hmm. Prior to his relationship with Giselle.
Oh,
what? What?
Just because a man happens to fall head over heels over a C-list, B-list, and then A-list doesn't mean that he's going up the star bleeping.
I mean,
ladder.
He was constantly upgrading. You know. Reid was a wreck.
It's not hard to draw a straight line there, right? Like from one to the other to the other.
I mean, there were some train wreck stories that came out of game day at Gillette when she was hanging around. Yeah.
I'm just not convinced on the upgrade between.
Yeah, so her sobriety seemed to be a problem on game day.
Yeah, she sat in front of my dad two games and She made a spectacle of herself to where security had to come and tell her to settle down.
Was this in like the suites or?
I think that was right out in the
100s, right out in the 100s, 50-yard line.
There may have been a day on the red level where she was having some problems steadying herself.
Well, she had she liked sitting in the laps of a lot of the guys in the second to last row.
You get at altitude, the oxygen gets thinner.
It's true.
I was always a fan of.
Thank God she wasn't in the 300s.
No, God no.
Yeah,
need a Sherpa to get up there. I'm a fan of Bridget Moynihan.
Now you're a Sherpa.
What? She tweeted after the game on Sunday night.
She's a classy woman.
She is.
Yeah.
Good actress.
Debatable, but yeah.
What?
Sure.
Coyote Ugly. She's really good in that.
Clear and Present Danger.
She's in that?
No.
One more segment with Bert Breer.
The other one's
coming up next.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Szolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Some more calls here with Bert Breer. 617-779-0985. LJ in Chicago on Tom Brady. LJ.
Hey, first of all, I just wanted to wish Mr. Bert Breer a happy birthday today. I don't know if you guys knew that. Today's birthday.
Shut that. Are you kidding me?
It's your birthday?
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Wow.
Oh, that sucks, Bert.
Bert and I worked together a long time ago at the Metro West News, way like 20 years ago or something. But
no way. What's
anyway,
your name?
This is Larry Rogers. I don't know if you remember me or not.
Holy crap.
It's been a long time.
So Larry Rogers is my sports editor at the Sudbury Town Crier when I was in high school. That's crazy.
Well, yeah, I knew. So I knew young Bert when he was 18, I think, 18 or 19 years old.
Jackass,
nice young man.
Yeah.
Is he a cocky prick?
No comment.
Still is.
No. So I just wanted the comment I wanted to make, and it was a while ago when you guys said this, and I just turned you on, and I heard you guys describing Brady as being psycho and maniacal and super competitive. And I don't think anybody's made this comparison. I'm sure they have, but it reminded me of Michael Jordan. You know, because you always hear these stories about how he doesn't forget anything, any slights ever been made toward him. He always brings up his high school coach that supposedly cut him his sophomore year, you know, and I think he even called him out in his retirement speech. So, you know, it's so similar between the two guys, how just driven they are to this maniacal, you know, psycho level. And, you know, I think that's why they are who they are. You know, it takes that type of intensity and ultra focus, whatever you want to call it, to get where you are. And then I want to ask you guys a question too. Between the two guys, obviously they're on the Mount Rushmore of the all-time greats, the GOATs. Who do you put? Do you put Jordan before Brady or Brady before Jordan?
That's really hard. I mean,
we'll see how this plays out, right?
Yes, you do. Yeah. Right now, I would say, you know, Jordan, knowing that in his sport, the individual player is far more important to the team success.
Right.
That's not to say he didn't play with good players, because he did. Played with Scottie Pippen. He played with a number of good players. Dennis Rodman. I mean, he's had other guys on his team that were really good, but nothing was like Jordan.
No,
Jordan was the guy. He was the team.
I mean, I don't know though.
Brady
guys.
Plays like, more of a team sport.
I think the accomplishment of going into what Brady did on Sunday. And look, I know he didn't play great in the second half, but his markings are on that, like all over that team. Like it, like what we saw on Sunday, we saw so many times in New England. He played great in the first half. You saw the team played really good situational ball across the board, right? Like even Mickens sliding when he slid, you know, before a 2-minute warning there, afforded Brady the chance to throw on that first down which wound up generating the first down and helping to end the game. Like, there are so many things that, like, I don't think the Bucs are doing right now if Brady's not their quarterback that have nothing to do with him throwing the ball to somebody.
Right. Normal coach would probably hand that off with 2:03 left, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's changed who they are, and he's done it in less than a year. Like, that franchise had not been to the playoffs in 13 years. They had not won a playoff game since Super Bowl 37. He has completely changed what they are. Like, they led the league in turnovers last year. Now, they are a tight operation when it comes to game management. What changed?
The quarterback. The quarterback. Most important position on the field, and they're letting him coach the damn thing, too.
Right. I mean, like, and it's like, and it was obvious when I was there in August at their camp, it was obvious. Like, I had somebody say to me, and this is going to sound crazy and cultish and all that, but, like, one of the guys there said to me, yeah, like, when they were doing those workouts at the high school, Berkeley Prep, down in Tampa, like, Brady basically convinced all of those guys to do the pliability stuff, the TB12 stuff, right? And when I was there, it was, like, I think 4 weeks into camp, and he was like, we have not had one soft tissue injury to any player who was at those workouts. And I mean, beyond like whether it works or not, I don't know. But like the guys bought in on that level. And the fact that he was able to go in there and just change the culture of an entire organization on the fly, like, I mean, I think this enhances his legacy big time, don't you?
Yeah, like, I do. It's almost
win or lose on, like obviously winning helped. Winning the Super Bowl would help. But I think he's already enhanced his legacy doing what he's done this year.
I heard the most that there were 28 to 30 guys that used it here, too, over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And not to say they didn't want him to do that, but I don't think they helped him promote it down there. It seems like they're allowing him to help him promote it and actually make it a part of our program.
And it's so it's everything, though. Like, right? Yeah. That's just an example. Like, again, the game management stuff, like, look at the way they handled the final 2 minutes of that game, of the first half, right? They're going for it on fourth and four. How many quarterbacks do you trust in that situation where you're going for it on fourth and four, and then you're throwing deep on the next play?
Yeah.
You know, the way they handle the final 2 minutes, like, being willing to throw the ball, like, under 2 minutes with the lead, the way they did that twice, right? Like, they threw it to Evans. Then they threw the one over the middle where the pass interference is drawn. And that was even though Brady had thrown 3 interceptions in the second half. Like, it's just, I think the confidence and the swagger that he brought to that play. I mean, like, I had somebody down there tell me a couple of weeks ago, he's like, Devin White, who, like, has nothing to do, like, from a football perspective, that's a middle linebacker.
Beast,
like, Devin White looks like a different player this year because he's playing with Tom Brady. And I was like, well, how do you figure that? It's like, he's learning how to win. And once you learn how to win as an athlete at this level, it totally liberates you. And so now you're seeing the sort of athlete he always was. And it's just kind of, it's coming out now. And so to be able to make that sort of impact on an entire organization the way that Brady has, you can't pay that guy enough. You know, I just, so, like, I think, like, what we're seeing is,
he's going to get an extension, like, isn't he? Like, that's coming, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like, I look at it and I'm like, the Patriot way, you know, like, a lot of that was Bill, no question. I think what we're learning is, like, the Patriot, like, a bigger percentage of the Patriot way was Brady than maybe even, like, the most, the biggest Brady Bobos were saying before this. Like, it was a huge part of it.
So quickly, Bert, before we let you go, how tough of a week is it for Bill Belichick?
Yeah, and I, like, can you imagine, like, watching? I would. Like, how much would you guys pay to have, like, a live feed of him during the NFC Championship game?
Oh, God. Well, wait a minute.
I'd pay more.
There for the Senior Bowl. Just imagine him walking into, like, the practice down there, and, like, the group, you can hear the grumblings, like, oh, my God, he's here. And the quarterback's getting ready for the Super Bowl.
He got out of bed.
What was he looking? And, Bert, I heard Mac Jones only measured in at 6'2" today. What the hell was that? I thought he was 6'4".
Yeah. I'll tell you what, like, I love the way Mac Jones played this year. Watching Tua, like, watching how ordinary Tua looks in the NFL now, wouldn't that worry you a little bit when you're looking at Mac Jones?
Yes. Like, yes. Because I think, you know, Mac Jones is in play here. That's why I ask you that.
Yeah.
Tua
looked awesome in college. Looked explosive, looked accurate, looked in command. And he was throwing to Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs and Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith. Well, you put him in the pros, and now all of a sudden he looks small and he looks sort of ordinary physically, right?
Yeah, it looks like a regular guy.
If I'm a team, I'm looking at what happened with Tua, and then I look at Mac, and I'm like, I got to have my radar up for this. Like, that might happen. Same thing might happen with him.
Wow.
All right, Bert, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy your time in Alabama.
Happy birthday,
thanks, guys.
Happy birthday. Noontime
hours.
Get
birthday
here.
Special, Bert.
We got to check that lotion.
Actually didn't know that was a birthday song, but thank you.
Get that lotion.
Got to check in the headlines with Hardy. We're right back in the noontime hour. They're on the phone lines. Hang tight.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.